Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the March 22nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Ladies first on Monday's show. Anatu Sadat is making headlines for wearing a hijab in her very first Ghana Women's Premier League football match. Joining us now from Accra is Yawafusu Larbi. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Now, forced to choose between your faith and your career is a hurdle no one wants to go through. But that was the situation of Muslim footballers before FIFA lifted the ban on hijabs in 2014. It all started in 2007 when Canadian footballer Asmahan Mansour attempted to wear a headscarf to play but was not permitted by the referee. Years on, the Canadian story is the base of a subject important and central to women's participation in sports. In her very first Ghana Women's Premier League game for the Northern Ladies, Anatu Sadat went viral for her looks, something she found perplexing.
In the beginning of the season, I didn't wear it because it wasn't available back then. And the comments came in from around the whole world, like Ghana. A lot of people were commenting, talking about how beautiful I am, mentioning how I even performed during the game. I was happy, but in a way, I wasn't that happy.
Few weeks later, she was in the spotlight again, but for a totally different reason. She had given Ghanaians a rare sight of a footballer wearing a hijab on the pitch, and that was something she had always wanted to do, although she had fear pulling her back.
I was actually scared. There was this fear in me because, you know, I've never seen someone using it in Ghana here, but I knew FIFA had banned the using of the hijab some years back, but actually in the year 2014 they amended it. So whilst I was going to use it, I had something pulling it back, but because like I just had to do it. It is something that I always wanted to do, so I just put all those aside and I used it.
She's the beneficiary of a humanitarian project which aims at providing apparel for Muslim footballers who are willing to honor their faith whilst playing football.
I'm a Muslim, so it's a custom in the Islamic society for a lady to have the yatoiba on, because it's part of the beliefs of Islam. So I'm proud and I've always wanted to do that. So when I got the opportunity, I just grabbed it.
Sumani Basirudin is a coach of Northern Ladies Football Club, and he talks on how it will change the lives of many Muslim footballers.
And she being the first lady to use it, I was very happy, especially coming from my team. I think this would go a long way to touch other clubs and other Muslim girls who are into football. And this would also give a way to Muslim girls and parents who are denying their wards to do it, but taking playing football and then take it as a career and then use it as something that can bring food on the table in future.
For the Northern Lady striker, she hopes her story will inspire other Muslim footballers. When writing the history of religion in the place of Ghana football, there's a name that can't be forgotten, the name of a woman who chose both faith and football. Her name is Anatu Sadat. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yawafusu Larbi in Accra.
Sporty greetings, everyone. This is Ambassador Mary Onyale, Olympic medalist, 5-time African champion in the sprint event. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Prince Nesta joins us once again for a look at the weekend highlights in the major European club football leagues. And Prince says he'll be kicking off with a Nigerian striker who has been on a nice goal-scoring streak. Sporty greetings, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Nigerian forward Kelechi Iheanacho continued his impressive scoring form after netting 2 goals and had an assist in Leicester City's 3-1 win against Manchester United in the quarterfinals of the FA Cup. The 24-year-old has now scored 7 goals in his last 4 games and has 3 goals in the FA Cup this season. Leicester will take on Southampton in the semi-finals after the Saints put their Premier League troubles aside to secure a 3-0 win against Bournemouth. Chelsea also reached the semi-finals of the FA Cup with a 2-0 win over Sheffield United, courtesy of Oliver Naud's own goal and a late strike from Morocco international Hakim Ziyech. Chelsea is now 14 matches unbeaten since Thomas Tuchel replaced Frank Lampard as manager in January and will next face Manchester City, whose 2 late goals from Ilkay Gundogan and Kevin De Bruyne secured a 2-0 win against Everton to keep their quest for the quadruple on course. Moving on to the Premier League, Tottenham Hotspur emerged from the gloom of the past week to claim a morale-boosting 2-0 victory at Aston Villa and climbed to 6th place in the table with 48 points. Carlos Vinicius's first league goal for the club gave Tottenham a half-time lead, and Harry Kane's penalty seized the points for Jose Mourinho's side. Here is the Portuguese tactician's take following his team's win.
A good result. Total credit to the players. Incredible attitude, incredible effort. Some of the guys was almost like a debut, not a debut, but not many matches that the ones like Tanganga or Joe Rodon played. Some of the guys like Harry played under 20 minutes 48 hours ago. Some of others, they gave absolutely everything. I would say the team was a team. And I think our next challenge as a team is not to play like this as a reaction of an awful performance, to play like this. When I say like this, I say with this state of mind, with this soul, should be a permanent thing.
There was Tottenham's manager Jose Mourinho after his team cruised to a comfortable victory at Aston Villa. Spurs' 6 successive away league win against Villa moves them above Everton and Liverpool with 48 points from 29 games, 3 behind 4th place Chelsea. Alexandre Lacazette completed Arsenal's comeback from 3 goals down to draw 3-3 and prevent West Ham from moving level on points with 4th place Chelsea in the Premier League. West Ham are now 5th place, while Arsenal is 9 points from 4 Champions League places. Here is Arsenal's manager Mikel Arteta's take on the match.
The first half an hour, really disappointing. We were in other races. We conceded a goal that it's their quality. They have the quality and the ability to do that. Perfect. But then we didn't win enough challenges, enough duels. We were too stretched as a team. Not enough urgency. And we showed that in the other 2 goals that we conceded that are completely unacceptable. So we showed a phase that we still have, that is that phase. And then after that, for the next 60 minutes, probably we played the best that I have seen us play against very tough conditions when any team could collapse and start to blame each other and have bad body language and concede 4, 5, or 6. We did completely the opposite. We reunited. We started to do what we had to do and we got better and better. And it's a shame because I think looking at the chances, we should have scored 6 or 7.
That's Arsenal manager Mikel Arteta, full of praise for his side's victory against West Ham. Arsenal next hosts Liverpool on April 4th. In the French League, Algerian forward Islam Slimani scored his first French League goal of the season, while Ivorian winger Maxwell Cornet scored and provided an assist in Lyon's 4-2 defeat to Paris Saint-Germain. PSG hit the ground running in the encounter with French star of Cameroonian descent Kylian Mbappe opening the scoring, before Danilo and Angel Di Maria also recorded their names on the score sheet. With the result, Lyon dropped to 3rd spot in the league table, while PSG climbed to the top of the league. 2nd place Lille were beaten 2-1 at home by struggling Nimes, thanks to goals from Senegalese forward Moussa Kone and Renard Ripart. Monaco also cruised to a 4-0 win over struggling Saint-Etienne to apply further pressure on defending French champions PSG and Lyon. In the Spanish league, U.S. men's national team right-back Serginho Dest scored 2 goals for Barcelona, his first in La Liga for the European Giants, in a 6-1 rout of Real Sociedad. Dest scored in the 43rd and 53rd minute to become the third U.S. international to score in La Liga, joining Jose Altidore and Yunus Musa. The win kept Barcelona within 4 points of league leaders Atletico Madrid, who extended their lead to 6 points at the top of the league with another 1-0 home win over Alaves, thanks to Luis Suarez's 500th career goal after heading home Kieran Trippier's cross in the second half. It was his 19th goal for Atleti, while the 34-year-old has also scored 198 goals for Barcelona, 82 for Liverpool, and 63 for Uruguay. French footballer of Algerian descent Karim Benzema scored 2 goals and created another, as Real Madrid beat Celta Vigo 3-1 to go to third in La Liga with 60 points. Well, Sunny, the Champions League quarterfinals draw was held on Friday at the European House of Football in Switzerland, and there are some sensational matchups coming up. 2018 Champions League finalist Liverpool have been drawn against Real Madrid, while the peak of the quarterfinals is arguably the rematch between last season's finalists Bayern Munich and Paris Saint-Germain. Competition is fierce, with Manchester City up against Borussia Dortmund, while Chelsea will probably feel happiest with their draw against FC Porto. But there are no easy ties at this point, with a number of strong sides having already fallen by the wayside. The Europa League quarterfinals also delivered some key matchups, with Manchester United scheduled to take on Granada, while the other English team in the competition, Arsenal, will be up against Slavia Prague, a team they handed a 7-0 thumping in their last meeting back in the 2007 and 2008 UEFA Champions League. Ajax, the winners of the 1992 edition of the Europa League, will battle it out against Italian side Roma, while Spanish side Villarreal face Croatian champions Dinamo Zagreb. The Europa League quarterfinals will be played against two legs, with the first leg scheduled on April 8th and the second leg on April 15th. And Prince Nestor on the Sunny Side of Sports. Back to you, Sunny.
Thanks, Prince. Certainly some spicy matchups coming up in the quarterfinals of UEFA's Europa League and Champions League tournaments. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. In African basketball, 22-year-old Milwaukee Bucks forward Jordan Nwora is organizing training camps for boys and girls in some FIBA Africa Zone 3 countries. Now, Jordan competes internationally for Nigeria's national team, nicknamed the Tigers. To find out more about his camps, Iron Mike Mbonye contacted the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3, Colonel Sam Amedu.
The Jordan Nwora Elite Basketball Camp is a camp organized by the Jordan Nwora Foundation in collaboration with FIBA Africa Zone 3, whereby national federations and organizations and clubs under the zone will organize the camps in conjunction with the foundation for the benefit of our youths. So the camp is for male and female. The camp starts in Abidjan from 24th to 26th of March, that is in a few days' time. And the Abidjan camp will also have in attendance campers from the country of Burkina Faso. Thereafter, it will move to Nigeria. The Nigerian Basketball Federation will organize it in Abuja, 5th to 7th April. In the same vein, the train will move to Gombe, where the Adamu Yola Foundation will organize that of Gombe from the 9th to 11th of April. Then we'll move to Makurdi, 15th to 17th, where the Benue State Basketball Association will hold sway, and then to Onitsha from 19th to 21st of April. Onitsha happens to be the hometown where the Jordan Nwora's parents are from, and so it's also good to touch base. From Onitsha, the camp moves to Cotonou, Republic of Benin, from 23rd to 25th of April, and then to Accra, Ghana, from 27th to 29th of April. So you see, it's going to be an interesting one. All across the zone, over 700 youths are going to have opportunity to be developed through the camp.
Can you tell Sunnyside of Sports listeners if the camps will be free for all participants?
Participation is free. Nobody is paying to attend. So it's important and that this information is made clear. So it is free. Jordan Wora is given back. And apart from the training that the players will have, there will also be visit to orphanage homes at each center, because Jordan Wora Foundation wants to give back in that other aspect, apart from developing the youth.
What will be the fate of talents spotted at the camps?
Talents spotted at the camps will have an array of opportunities. One, the talent spotted will definitely develop their skills. Some will go on to join youth clubs to further improve themselves, while others will go on to play for their youth national teams as well as their senior national teams. Not stopping there, some will obtain scholarships to further their education in foreign institutions, while some can start playing in their country's leagues, and also some will move abroad to play in foreign leagues. So the opportunities are endless, but it's not just about playing basketball. The campus will also learn some life skill programs. They will be taking through life skills, the need to stay in school, the need to have an education while doing sports, because this has been the bane of our sportsmen. I mean, not all our sportsmen, some of our sportsmen, we just think that by doing sports, they don't need to improve themselves academically. And then when they can no longer continue sports, they start finding themselves falling short. So that's going to be another aspect of the camp. So overall, the benefits and opportunities are very, very high. And for Nigeria, yes, our talent base in basketball is high, one of the highest in the world. You will recollect the last NBA draft, Nigeria had about 8 to 9 players. And so that we are drafted, and Jordan Wora was one of them, having played for the Nigerian national team at a very young age. So the Nigerian talent base is very, very high, and that's why we're having 4 camps in Nigeria, while the other countries are having one, and in some countries they are combining, like in Benin, Niger campus and Togo campus are also going to combine with Benin, while Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso will combine for the camp in Abidjan. So overall, Nigeria has a very wide talent base, and this camp will really do us very well. Rather than people come and do just one camp and leave, now we're having 4 camps in 4 zones of the country, and which will touch about at least 500 kids.
That's Colonel Sam Amaidu, president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. And Colonel Sam spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Lagos, Nigeria.
Hi, my name is Colonel Sam Amaidu, retired, the president of FIBA Africa Zone 3. I want to give a shout out to the Sunny Side of Sports. Thank you.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C. Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight? Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. In U.S. men's college basketball, the NCAA championship tournament is continuing on this Monday at various locations across the United States. The competition is nicknamed March Madness because it typically features more than a few upsets, and this year is no different. The AP's Bruce Morton takes a look at the action in the Midwest region.
12th seed Oregon State continued to shock the college basketball world when it eliminated number 4 Oklahoma State 80-70. The Beavers go to the Sweet 16 to face 8th seed Loyola of Chicago, which led wire to wire and defeated top seed Illinois 71-58. Then there was number 11 Syracuse, which took down 3rd seed West Virginia 75-72. The Orange will take on 2nd seed Houston, which held off Rutgers 63-60. I'm Bruce Morton.
Thanks, Bruce. For more on Syracuse's 75-72 victory over West Virginia, here is the AP's Josh Roundtree.
For the 20th time under Jim Boeheim, the Syracuse Orange are off to the Sweet 16. Using a late 11-0 run, Syracuse, the Midwest region's 11th seed, topped 3rd seed West Virginia 75-72 on Sunday. Boeheim's team has now advanced to the Sweet 16 as a double-digit seed 3 times in the last 6 years.
These guys deserve all the credit in the world. I mean, they're a tough bunch, and they've earned. It's hard to make the Sweet 16. Look around. Look at some of the teams that are out. It's really hard.
Buddy Boeheim, the son of the Orange's Hall of Fame head coach, led all players with 25 points.
Do you know how many people would dream about going to 2 Sweet 16s, 2 Final Fours, and an Elite Eight? In 10 years, I think that's pretty good, and it just shows he's never had a losing season back in the Sweet 16, and he continues to do it. He's one of the best coaches in all sports. There's no doubt about it.
West Virginia got 23 points from Sean McNeil, but its season comes to an end at 19-10. I'm Josh Roundtree.
Thanks, Josh. The single elimination men's NCAA championship basketball tournament will continue through April 5th, when the final is played in Indianapolis, Indiana. Moving up to the professional ranks in National Basketball Association action Sunday, the Brooklyn Nets and the New Orleans Pelicans both posted victories. The AP's Dave Ferry reports.
Kyrie Irving scored 28 points and James Harden had 26 to lead the Nets to a 113-106 victory over the Wizards. Blake Griffin made his Nets debut and dunked for the first time since December 2019.
I tried not to look at the bench when I was coming back down, but then I kind of peeked over and I saw DeAndre all the way out on the side and I saw everybody standing up. So, it's hard not to smile in that situation.
Nicholas Claxton added 16 points, including 2 3-point plays down the stretch to help hold off the Wizards. Russell Westbrook had 29 points, 13 rebounds, and 13 assists for Washington. The Nets' victory, coupled with the 76ers' win over the Knicks, keeps Brooklyn one game behind Philadelphia for the Eastern Conference lead. Brandon Ingram and Zion Williamson each scored 30 points as the Pelicans overcame another triple-double by Nikola Jokic to beat the Nuggets 113-108. Josh Hart says he loves having Williamson and Ingram as teammates.
Both of them can get a bucket almost at any time, or get the free throw line. So, they do a really good job of playing off of each other. Neither of them, just kind of dominate the ball at the end of the game. They swing the ball, they move it.
Nikhil Alexander-Walker added 20 points as New Orleans won the finale of a road trip after dropping its first 2 games in Portland. Jokic had 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 10 assists for his 52nd career triple-double, 11 coming this season. I'm Dave Ferry.
Yo, yo, yo! Sporty greetings, man. I'm Evelyn Akato, forward for the Tigress Nigerian Women's National Team, and Flams Carolo Basket. Bonjour, bonjour, my people. You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Please continue to stay safe and avoid contracting COVID-19. Thank you so much.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
I'm VOA Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. The Tokyo Olympic Organizing Committee has confirmed that spectators from overseas will not be allowed to attend this year's games due to the coronavirus pandemic. VOA's Gwen Uten has more on the decision. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The ongoing impact of COVID-19 has led to an emergence of a number of new variant strains and continued travel restrictions around the globe. And at a Saturday news conference, Tokyo 2020 President Seiko Hashimoto told reporters that due to the pandemic, it would be very difficult to guarantee that people traveling from overseas will be able to safely enter Japan for the upcoming games. Following the announcement, International Olympic Committee President Thomas Bach told reporters he shares the same disappointment of many around the world about the overseas ban, but says he respects the decision as a necessary precaution.
It's just another expression of respecting the principles the IOC has established from the very beginning for the organization of these postponed games. That means there is safety first. It's not a decision we have taken or accepted lightly, but again, it's a necessary move, unfortunately.
Organizers were forced to delay the Tokyo Games in 2020 due to the coronavirus outbreak. The Olympic Games are now set to take place this summer from July 23rd through August 8th. The Paralympics are scheduled to begin on August 24th until September 5th. And as organizers press forward with preparations for the upcoming Games, Thomas Bach says the IOC will stay in close cooperation with their Japanese partners to keep safety a priority.
We will at the same time work with our rights holding broadcasters across the globe how we can share the Olympic spirit with all the billions of fans of the Olympic Games around the world. And there, I think we can expect some new and innovative ideas to be presented to all of them. At the end, we are very confident that these Olympic Games will indeed be the light at the end of the dark tunnel we are all still in, and that these Games will send a strong message of peace, solidarity, and resilience from Tokyo, from Japan, to the entire world.
Bach added that all tickets purchased overseas will be refunded. Nearly 600,000 overseas tickets were sold for the Olympic Games and an additional 300,000 for the Paralympics. The weekend news conference comes just days before the start of the Olympic torch relay in Fukushima, Japan. This Thursday, roughly 10,000 torchbearers are due to participate in the 121-day relay that will crisscross Japan and enter the opening ceremony at the National Stadium in Tokyo. The Olympic Committee says it views the torch relay as a crucial opportunity to show the world that, despite the global pandemic, Japan is ready to host the upcoming Summer Games. And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. In more Olympic news, our friend in Accra, Kwabena Quicksilver Ofori, reports Ghanaian light heavyweight Shakul Samir has qualified for the Olympic boxing tournament in Tokyo. Kwabena will have a story on Shakul's qualification on Tuesday's show. He's the third Ghanaian fighter to book a ticket to Tokyo. Ghana has won a total of 4 Olympic medals, and 3 have come in boxing. Clement Corte won a silver at the 1960 Rome Olympics, And Eddie Blay and Prince Amarte won bronze medals. Eddie at Tokyo 1964 and Prince at Munich 1972. That wraps up the March 22nd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.